Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus today? How many know there's power in that blood?
Power in the blood. Oh, I'm glad there is.
magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there's victory in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's apostolic church. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So good to see everyone in the house of the Lord here tonight, today. Amen. It's a great day to serve the Lord. Amen. We've had a good time around here of late. Amen. Friday night we had a great time of fellowship with the youth, and many had come down to participate around the fellowship. And then Saturday, amen, looked like everyone had made it out, and we had a good time of fellowship once again. That's a strong church, amen, when we gather together and fellowship, not only in the house of God, but also on the West facility for activities and just being together, amen. You grow strong that way. And those that will try to isolate themselves from things of that, they become weaker in the spirit. And I'm thankful for a strong group of people that want to see revival flourish. Amen. And now that we are getting warmer weather, more of these activities are planned. And it's a good time to invite, amen, your friends and family members to come out and join with us, amen, because that's how we can break, amen, some of that tension about coming to church, and they will freely come and be with us in the house of God. But we do want to make mention tonight, service begins at 5:30, and it all begins with prayer. Prayer is the nucleus of what brings everything together. Amen. It's what brings our minds and all of our activities to a standstill for one purpose, for a move of God. Amen. So 5:30, we'll be gathering here again tonight. And then Monday night, there is going to be no called prayer, but this sanctuary will be open for those that would like to come and pray. And because of our new Bible college starting again in the south end of the facility, that's where we will gather. So when you come in, those in the Bible college, at 7 p.m., we will be gathering in the south end of the facility. Now, when I say at 7 p.m., that means at 7 p.m. I'm starting. I'm going to start my lecture, my class. So if you're late, you're going to miss what is so important here at the beginning. So be on time, and we will begin this second session of our Bible college. And those that had already graduated for the last 4 years that received your AA degree, this time you will be working on your BA degree, and those that are joining will be beginning to work on their AA degree. So it's just a combination, and some I know have already said, well, how can that? It's just, don't worry about it. Pastor's got it all figured out. So we're just going to be hand in glove, working for one purpose, and that is to get the Word of God in our hearts. Amen. If we can get the Word in our hearts, we are so far ahead of the attacks of the adversary. That's what the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want you to get the Word in your heart. Amen. So that will begin Monday night at 7 p.m.
Also tonight, there will be choir practice at 4:30. Be on time. Amen. If you're here at 4:30, you're late, because that's when it starts. So let's be here on time. We do want to go before the Lord in prayer, and we are going to also have prayer for our giving and our tithe and offering here this morning. But we do want to pray for Nora Ramos. She needs a special touch in her body. We also need to pray for Virginia and Louis tonight. Today, they need a special need in their lives. Also, we want to pray for the Myers family. Strength for the passing of Kirk Myers. So we want to pray for this family. Many of those that are associated with the Waukena School. She has been a major part. We all know her at the school district, the Myers family. Also, we want to pray for Danny and Margaret Marin. We also want to take Sister Preston in prayer today. She is at home recovering after a fall that she had this week, and she has been in a lot of pain. But we're thankful that she is okay. And she just has to recover from all the aches. And it's already been stated by one. They asked her who she had gotten into a fight with. She's black and blue, and she has a black eye. And what she doesn't need is everyone to call her and keep her from resting. And so just for her to know that we're praying for her would make a world of difference. So she is at home recovering after a fall. Also, we want to pray for the Brother Marin family. There's sickness in their home. We want to pray for the Lord to touch and to heal. We also want to pray for Michael Salgado. He is at home with a broken toe that has become infected. And the doctor has told him that he needs to stay off of his foot before Monday. So we're praying that all goes well. We also want to pray for Brother Jarrell Hodge. He is at home sick here also here today. And so we serve a God that's able to heal, able to strengthen. Every need you have, we have a God who makes himself available for your need. And that's what I'm so in love with him, because he cares about us. Amen. And so we do want to pray for every need. If you have an unspoken request, maybe you know of someone that needs a touch of God in their life by the uplifting of hand. And I still believe that you are able to touch heaven for these requests. And so when we pray, we need to open up our voices and let heaven hear our request. It's simple just to allow the service leader to pray in a microphone, and we're just tight-lipped without anything coming out. But you know, I believe it's unity that literally does what is needed. It's faith where two or three are gathered in my name. I want you to know there's the power. And so with a unified effort of prayer, amen. You may not remember all these requests, but you can pray. God, these needs need to be touched. You know who they are. You know their situation. But we got to open up our mouths, and we need to pray aloud that the spirit world is shaken. Amen. For one reason, a lot of our needs are attacks from the devil, and or opposition or things of that nature, spirits that are working against the church. And so that's why it's important that we unify together. There is strength in numbers. Amen. So let's Let's pray about these needs also. Let's pray again, as I stated, for our offering here this morning. Let's unite our voices together. Lord, we know that you are the healer. We know, Lord, that there is nothing that is impossible unto you. I know, Lord, that you're able to touch every one of these requests that have been brought before you from your people. I pray, Lord God, here today for Nora Ramos. You're able, Lord, to work in her life. You're able, Lord God, to do a work that no one else can do. You're able to touch Virginia and Louis here today. You're able to minister to their minds and to their spirit. You're able to touch the Myers family, the loss of Kirk Myers. You're able, Lord, to bring virtue into that home, a rest, a peace at this hour. I pray, Lord God, for Danny and Margaret Marin, that you bring them, Lord God, to have an understanding that they need a genuine relationship with you, and that they will turn their hearts back to truth, and let the word become real into their lives. I pray for Sister Preston here today. You give her strength. God, you touch her body. You make her whole. I pray, Lord God, for Brother Julian Marin, that you would heal his body, touch his family. I pray, Lord, that you're able to let a virtue flow this morning, that strength would come. I know, Lord, that you are their healer, that they can call out to, and you're ever present. I pray for Brother Michael Salgado, that you would touch, Lord, this infection, this broken toe. You would bring about the healing restoration that is needed in his body. I pray, Lord God, for Brother Jarrell Hodge. Lord God, that you bring virtue to this sickness, Lord God, that he has felt. I pray, Lord, for every hand that went forth. We believe you, God, for miracles. We believe you, Lord God, for healing. We know, Lord, that you're able to meet every need. You're present here today. I pray for this offering, God, that you would bless the giver. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give unto the Lord as you come and give your offering here at the altar.
So much power in that holy name of Jesus.
Lord. There's power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. Oh, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for the name that is above every name. Amen. And that is the name that we are saved by, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for what Jesus has done in my life. How about you? Amen. What a difference. Amen. But it only happens when we give ourselves wholly unto the Lord. That means everything. That means we don't hold anything in reserve. We don't give a part of us to the world and a part of us unto the Lord. The Bible says that He'll spew you out of His mouth. He's concerned about you as an individual, that you don't allow the things of this world to pull at your heartstrings. He loves you, but He doesn't want you to have another lover in your life. Amen. You can't love the world and love the Lord at the same time. You're either going to hate the one and love the other. And when your heart is in the things of what the world has, then your heart's not really in love with Jesus. You can say it all day long, but the Lord knows that you're flirting with something in the world. Amen. I want the Lord to know that I'm totally in love with Him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. We're glad to have Felix Morales with us. We're glad that you're here this morning with us. And we want you to feel like you belong here. Amen. And I believe the Lord has something special for you here in the house of God, as He does every time we gather together. Amen. If you're here, whether it's the first time or the 15th time, we want you to feel like this is the church I want to be a part of, because what I feel there, I've never felt anywhere else. Praise God. Amen. Are you ready for the preaching of the word? Praise God. Brother Hale, come preach to us.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Do you truly love Him today? Have you told Him that you love Him? Amen. God is a good God. Amen. I love this life. I wouldn't want any other life. Amen. I see too many lives of this world and how they are. And I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want to exchange this for nothing. Too many people, it's just the now. It's the fun now. They're living for the now, but they don't look down the road just a few years. That good time that you're having, it ain't going to be there no more. You're going to be left broken, hurting, alone, disease. Who knows what else? But this life that we have. Amen. Do you guys remember those days you used to wake up and you didn't even remember what you did? What did I do? I hope I don't get a phone call. I hope the cops don't come looking for me. I hope. Or why did I do that? Because now I hate how I feel. And that's a good time to some. Amen. But I'm thankful for what we have here. I'm thankful for truth. Amen. I'm thankful for this message that we have. Amen. Thank God for His word. That when I once was blind, I didn't know. I didn't know anything. But then I heard a preacher preach, "What thus saith the word of the Lord?" And it opened up my eyes. Are you thankful for that here today? Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the change? Amen. Thank God for the change. Thank God for the change. Because if it wasn't for the change, you wouldn't be here. Look to this world and how many of them may say they go to church, but they're still the same. Amen. What we have, it's not just religion. I just told this somebody the other day. They attend some kind of a church, but they're broken. They're going through divorce. Their life is a mess. I said, hey, you need to come to church. Because what we have is not religion. What we have is not just tradition. But what we have here, it's real. And it'll change your life. Amen. And that's what you need here today. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, that's what you need. Amen. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for His Spirit. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if we can turn to Matthew chapter number 9. And we'll read one verse here, verse number 37. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37. If you have it, why don't you shout amen. Amen. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's plenteous. It's ripe. It's ready. It's out there. But the laborers are few. The harvest is ready. But where are the laborers? Amen. If we can put our Bible down one more time, can we lift our voice? Ask the Lord to speak to each and every heart here together. Let's lift our voice. Savior, we love you. We honor you here this morning. We're so thankful, God, for your presence that we can feel. Lord, if it wasn't for you, if you weren't here, God, why would we even be here? But God, you're here in this house today, and we can feel your presence. And I pray, God, in the remaining part of this service, I pray as your word goes forth, I pray that you will touch each and every heart that is here. God, let somebody here this morning make up in their mind, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, I'm going to give my all to you today. Lord, let this service today be a changing point in somebody's life. I pray, do that great work in Jesus' name. Oh, somebody shout amen. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I was thinking about this the other day, and Brother Creel, you ever get tired? He's tired right now. Thank you for being honest. You know what? I heard somebody the other day said that they were really tired, but yet full of energy at the same time. What are you looking around for? Now, physically, I don't know if I've really ever felt that. Drained, tired, but full of energy at the same time. I don't know. Maybe God bless them for that. But in the spirit, you can feel that way. Physically, you're drained, you're tired, you've had a long week. It's been a long week. And you come in on Sunday morning and you might be tired. But in the spirit, you're energized. In the Holy Ghost, you're ready. Amen. There's a lot of people. Now, I understand there's all kinds of different circumstances and situations, but in other churches, you might fall asleep. Now, again, I understand there's certain people that they have issues. Sleep apnea may be one. Now, that's different. But if you are in good health and you're good, and maybe it's just because you're not going to sleep early enough. But no matter how tired you may be, when you're in the house of God, you're in His presence. And though I may be tired in body, in spirit, I'm here to worship. I'm here to magnify my God. I might be tired, but I know what he's done for me. I know where he's brought me from. So I'm going to praise him no matter how I feel. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to praise him. I'm not going to let the rocks take my place. I'm not going to. You don't want to worship? You don't want to praise? Don't hinder me. Nobody's going to take my praise. Nobody's going to take my spot. Because if you won't, there will be somebody that will come in, that God will touch, that God will deliver, that God will set free, and they will take your place. Hey, don't ever forget what God has done in your life. Don't ever get to that place. Well, I'm here. It don't call for that. It doesn't matter. It may be 5 years, 15, 20 years. Don't forget where God's brought you from. Because when this loses its value, its importance to you, other things are going to come in. And you may say, well, I might just go somewhere else, but I'm not walking away. I'm telling you, when you know truth, when you know biblical salvation, amen, you understand this gospel message. And you understand, come out from amongst the world and be ye separate. But you want to go down the road somewhere else where it's easier. You can't unlearn what you have learned. When you know 2 + 2 = 4, it don't matter if you go somewhere else and a teacher says 2 + 3 = 4. No, it's always 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't matter what somebody else may say. Is it what the Word of God says? Amen. Are you thankful for the Word of God? Are you thankful for truth? It's not my interpretation. It's not what I think. But it's what thus saith the Word of the Lord. What the Word says. Amen. Are you thankful for the message? Hey, this is the message that will change you. This is the message that will change you. It'll save you. It'll set you free. Well, set me free from what? What are you bound by? It'll set you free. It doesn't matter. Hey, people like to classify sin. They like to classify sin. Well, it's a little sin. It's just a little white lie. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. From the littlest white lie that you want to tell to the murderer, the drug, it does not matter. Sin. To God, sin is sin. And no sin will enter into heaven. Amen. And God will not fill a dirty, unclean vessel with his spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm dirty. I have sin in my life. What do I got? Thanks for asking. It's the Acts 2:38 message. You want to be saved? You want to be saved? You want to go to heaven? What did Jesus say? In John chapter 3. Hey, now, if you want to be saved, yeah, you can go ask somebody. That's good. And hopefully they know the scriptures, they know truth, and they don't just tell you to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Hopefully they understand. Yeah, you've got to accept him. I understand that, but there's more to it. And who better to ask than Jesus himself? And if Jesus said it, don't you agree that we should believe it? And that we should obey it? Because if you want to go to... Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you can come also. Hey, that's heaven. I want to go. How about you? Hey, I don't want the alternative. I want heaven. What must I do to inherit, to get, to achieve eternal life? I want to be saved. Amen. I want to be saved. Jesus said, not only can you not enter, but you can't see. You can't see. You can't enter except you're born again of the water and of the Spirit. Now, I'm sorry, by accepting the Lord as your personal Savior, you're not being born of the water. You're not being born of the Spirit. When you're born, something happens. Hey, when a lady goes into labor, the water breaks. Right? Something happens. When you're born again of the water, you go down in baptism. Water baptism. And how you're baptized is really important. Baptized. Fully submerged in water. It's funny. Matthew 28:19. Don't sing me the song, but tell me the scripture. Go forth. What? I just taught the young people this. Can somebody, one of you young people, tell me? Oh, I guess we're going to reteach that whole lesson. They want to bring up baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Well, that's great, but that's not a name. That is a title. Brother Adrian, I'm going to write you a check for $1,000. Okay? But I'm going to sign it the Son. Because I am a son. And this is my Father. So I am a son. So I'm going to, the Son, go ahead, go cash it. The Son, who is this? Sorry. I need to know who is the Son. Who is the Son? That check ain't no good because there is no name attached to it. You want to be baptized in the titles Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? You're just getting wet. What is the name of the Father? In the name of the Father. In the name of. What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? The Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. You've got to be baptized in water in the precious, lovely name. The Father, God, robed himself in flesh. He came himself. He didn't send the Son, Junior. Hey, you go down there and you die. I don't want to do it. You're going to go through a lot of pain, and I'm not going to do it. Don't worry, though. You're going to rise again. No. He put on flesh. God put on flesh. Came. Dwelt among us. He suffered. Hey, this is truth. This is biblical salvation. And this is what will save you. This is what will change your life. We've got the message. We've got the message. And it's not just the water. Thank God. Take me to the water. I want to be baptized. I want my sins to be covered. I want my sins to be washed away. That's good. But you know what it starts with? It starts with repentance. Hey, if you want to get baptized and just get wet, that's fine for you. But you've got to repent. Amen. You've got to repent. It's the first point. Well, before that, you got to believe first. If you don't believe, it's just going through the motions. How many people, they go through tradition. You want to get baptized? Okay, we'll come through a certain amount of classes. No. You've got to believe that he is. And that he came to change you. And that what he promised, it is for you. And it will make a difference in you because it will. Do I have a witness in the house today? This is the message. You got to believe. You've got to repent. What is repentance? God, I'm sorry for what I've done. It's a change. It's a change, a desire to change. God, I know in myself I'm not perfect. I'm imperfect. I know I have flaws. I know I'm messed up. I know I've messed up. But God, I've heard about you. How many people, they've heard about Jesus? They've heard about the change. Hallelujah. I keep talking about the change. And that's what somebody wants to do. People, they want to change. How many classes are full? AA classes, all these other classes, they're self-help. I need help. But how long? They go to those classes, and how long until they're back the same exact way? How many people, they go to a confessional booth and confess, but yet 2 weeks later, however long, they're back confessing the same thing? They want to change. I'm sorry. But there's something lacking. There's something wrong. We can't do it on our own, by our own selves. You might repent, and that's good. You've got to repent. You might even get baptized, and God will wash away your sins. God will cover you. He'll look at you. You won't see them no more. The blood has been applied. But that in itself ain't the whole thing. It's partial. How many people you've heard it say, well, I need to do a few things first. I've got a few things I've got to do first, and then I'll come. I'm stuck. I'm doing these things. I need to make sure I'm right. They've said it. I know some of you said it. If I come in right now, the house is going to collapse. God's going to strike me dead if I go into that church. Nope. That's not the way it happens. You don't clean your life up to get God. Amen. You get God to clean your life up. Because you can't do it on your own. Amen. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's His Spirit. Amen. That He gives us. It's the power to live right. It's the power to change. You want to talk about addictions? You can stand, you can sit down. But if you've ever been addicted to something, why don't you just wave your hand? There's a lot of hands that ain't up, but yet you're still addicted to some things. Can't live without your phone. Some people don't understand addictions. You think, well, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to bad things. No, you can be addicted to a lot of things. Amen. You can be addicted to food. Taco Bell. Woo. You can be addicted to a lot of things. Games. Books. They're not wrong. Well, as long as you're not reading the wrong things or doing, you know. But you can be addicted to, there's people that are addicted to working out. Not all things are bad, but you can still become addicted to it. So again, has anybody been addicted to things? Brother Lamb, at first I didn't see your hand go up. But how many sodas would you go get? Huh? No, back then. Yeah. Woo, see? Everybody has been at one time, you've got to have something, a Snickers, whatever. Hey, addictions. We've all been addicted to things, right? And how many people they have, it's like the monkey on your back. And that's sin. Now I'm not just talking about little fun things. I'm talking about sin. Amen. This world, the things of this world that they just want to get a hold of you. And they don't want to let go. I'm reminded of Pastor's Bible study a long time ago. A long time ago, he used this, and it's been referenced many times, but the monkey, they would go out and they would, or the gorilla, the ape, whoever it was, they would go out and they would do tracking, and they would take care of all these different, you know, looking at them. Well, they would put a trap in the tree, and they would put a candy in that trap, and that animal would come over there, and they would grab it. Well, the thing was, is when they could slip their hand into the trap, right? But when they grabbed hold of whatever it was, that candy that was in there, they couldn't get their hand out. That's sin. That's this world. It has a hold on this world. They put their hand, oh, it feels good. It's so fun, having the time of my life. And all of a sudden, they get a hold of it. They think they have a hold of it. I'm having the time of my life. I'm having fun. But all of a sudden, whoa, this isn't what I thought. Why am I having the problems I'm having? Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel empty? I'm supposed to be having fun. What's going on? Now you want to get rid of it. You want to let go. Get out. No, now you're addicted and you can't let go because you want it, but you want to let it go. It's a fight inside of you. It's a fight inside of this world. Inside of your loved ones. They don't want to let it go. And what happens? That scientist comes up behind them. Knocks them on the back of the head. And then they do whatever they... That's the devil. Whew, I'm having fun. Oh, I woke up in the morning. Oh, what did I do last night? Whew. Whoa, I did that? You guys got pictures of me doing that? Woo. Yeah. Young people, don't look to this world. You may not know what it's all like. Thank God your mom and your daddy came into church or somebody came to church and you have this. Hey, don't look to those that are looking to the world. You've got the best thing this world could ever offer. You're in a safe place. Thank God for every testimony that's out there. But you know what? Thank God for a testimony of a young person that can stand and say, hey, thank God for what he's done for you, but I'm thankful God has kept me. I don't have those scars in my life. Because I guarantee you, I've heard it. Guarantee. There's many of you that would say, I wish I didn't have these scars in my life. I understand. Now you have a testimony. We all have a testimony. And you don't want to downplay your testimony. But I've heard it said many times. I wish as a young person I would have heard this. I wish as a young person I would have had this experience. You don't have to go out into this world and get a testimony. You have one of the greatest testimonies ever. I don't know what it's like to go out. I don't know. God has kept me. But you know that same exact testimony that God has kept me can go out and win another young person that's out there. If God has kept me from it, God can keep you from it. He can bring you out from it. He can set you free and do the same thing he's done for me. Yeah, you might have some scars, but I know the healer. I know the mender. I know the great physician. Are you thankful for the message? Oh, it's repentance. It's water baptism. It's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's the greatest thing that could happen in your life. Amen. And we know that. And you may need it here this morning, and it's for you today. But it's for a lot more. The harvest field is ready. The harvest field is ready. But where are the laborers? Where are the ones that will go forth and proclaim this life-changing message? We can't be satisfied because we have it. How many people are broken? How many people are lost? How many people are lonely? And we have what can change their life. Think about it. How many of you guys were on the verge of divorce? How many of you guys were bound by a whole list of things? I'm telling you, they're out there. They're out there. People like to put up a facade. We know what a facade is. It's a fake front. They put on the smile. They act like everything's all right. They act like everything's cool. Everything's good in my life. How many times? You've done it yourself. Hey, Sister Lydia, how are you? I'm good. Inside, you're crying. You're broken. Hey, you see somebody at the store. How are you? I'm good. But really, they are empty and they're ready to break and cry right there. Do you remember how empty you were? How lonely you were? Even in the midst of a party, you still felt alone. You put up that facade, hey, I'm having a good time, but yet you're drinking to get rid of it. What's your feeling inside? And that's so many that are out there. You talk to them. And if you talk to them long enough, you talk to them enough times, that facade will start to fade. And they'll start to open up to you. And you'll realize, hey, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Go to work. Go around your family. It's all fun and good. But inside, they're not. Are we sensitive to that? Do we realize that? How many? We're talking about backsliders. There's backsliders that are out there. You see them. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. They want to talk about this and that, whatever's going on in their life. It's good. It's great. It's all a facade. They're just putting up a front. Especially backsliders that know truth and have walked away. I remember Brother Jeremy Lou saying, when he was away, the thoughts that would always go through his mind. On a daily basis. There's others that will say that it wasn't on a daily basis. They're just trying to block it out, but it was still there. I remember Brother Adrian. I talked to him quite often. He would come around. Come on. You know, you, this is where you belong. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, you're good on the outside, but inside you're not good. Some people, they will make it back, like Brother Jeremy. Made up mind. Just walked through the church house doors one day. Came right to an altar. Knew what he needed to do. I'm preaching about the harvest field. Backsliders and sinners that don't even know anything. Backsliders. There's been a couple backsliders that have been on my heart. And you know what? God has promised us the harvest field. And in that harvest field, it's sinners and backsliders. It's his harvest field. But we need to take ownership too. Brother Creel preached it last week. The field is mine. What is your field? Who is your field? Think about it. Thinking about Brother Jeremy. He came back. He came to himself. Came in. Made things right. Now on the other hand, it took something. To get Brother Adrian. It took a situation to get him to come back. And thank God for it. But you know what? It's still a fight. Sister Lou, how long was it? 4 years. That was a quick 4 years? Yeah. Now, to some of you, you may say 4 years isn't that long. But when you're a mama and your son is lost, one service knowing that your son is backslid is a long time. 4 years, it wasn't quick. It was many prayers, many worries, many gray hairs. But that's not the end. You still got another one. Sometime back, I texted him and invited him to something, and he said, no, I'm not interested. So we just give up. He's not interested. No. That's when you pray all the more. Why? It's not him just saying, no, I'm not interested. You know what it is? It's a fight in the spirit, and we're fighting for our harvest field. Can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer it out really, you know, loud, just in your mind. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you really fighting for your harvest field? Are you really fighting for your harvest field? And it's not just a fight on a Sunday night when pastor can get up and preach a message that really moves you and pulls you to an altar. But fighting for your harvest is on a Tuesday night. It's on an off night. It's at 2 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and that person, that family member, that coworker, whoever it is, your harvest field, that person is on your mind. 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, are you fighting for your harvest field? Or do you roll over and say, I'll remember that at Monday night prayer? Are you fighting? Because if you're fighting at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll get up out of the comfort of your bed. You'll go and find yourself an altar in your living room. And you'll begin to pray for that soul. That's fighting for you. That's fighting for your harvest field. That's fighting for your harvest field. The harvest is ready. But where are the laborers? Where are we? Where are we? We live in a farming community, so we understand. There's seasons, right? There's a time to plant. There's a time to water. At times, there's times of pruning, cutting away. But then there is a time of harvest. Now, all this stuff just happens on its own, right?
No.
What happens? There's people that go out and do the planting. There's people that go out and do the watering. And then there's people that go out there and they get in the dirt and they make it grow. No. God gives the increase. God is the one. But there's people that go out and tend the field. And that's what we are. Some plant, some water. You go out, you knock doors. You go out, you invite. It's your harvest field. It's your neighbor. It's a family member. It's a friend. Somebody you run into you ain't seen in a long time. You're working with them. You're inviting them. Some water. I hope we're all watering. Praying. Praying tears. I remember there was a message that was, tears is a language that God understands. Have you cried tears lately? Tears. There's something about tears. When you get to that state of tears, that's one thing. I could really just pray. But when you get to that place of desperation and you're praying and pleading the blood, getting into the Spirit, praying, it's tears. It's a brokenness. I picture Hannah at the altar, travailing. So much so, thought she was drunk. Have you been in that state lately? It's a fight. So we know that there is a time to plant, there's a time to water, and there's a time to harvest. When that harvest is ready, you've got to go, the workers, they go out and they harvest it. They bring it in. We understand that. It's the same way in the Spirit. In the Spirit, I can say we're always planting. We're always watering. We're always doing that. We should always do that. Everywhere we go, new people, old people, praying for souls. It's a continual process. And the harvest is ready. There's going to be those that are coming in. But it's going to be a fight. It is going to be a fight. Why? Because the enemy, I have a whole bunch I can go through right now. But it's going to be a fight in the Spirit. You think the enemy is going to come in and just allow the harvest to come in nice and easy? Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's a long process. And there's a lot of people you've been praying for a long time for certain people. Some may come in. Some we've got to keep on praying. We've got to keep on fighting. Until the rapture happens. Till the trumpet sounds. Or until we go by the grave. Or they go by the grave. It's a continual process. It's a continual process. We don't give up on somebody no matter how long it takes. But the harvest field is great. But we are in a race against time. There's a lot I could talk about things going on in the news. Things that are happening. There's a lot. But to shorten it up, we are in a race against time. And there are souls that are hanging in the balance. Who's going to be the one that makes the difference? Who are the people that are going to be the ones that make the difference? It's going to be the apostolic church. Again, there are a lot of churches that are out there. But are they truly in the book? Do they truly have the message? Because this is what's going to make the difference. And we have it. And we have it. And again, it is going to be a fight. You wonder why. How many people do you invite to come to church? I'll be there. And then they don't come. It's a fight in the spirit. Because the enemy knows the harvest is ready. And if that person makes their way to that church where truth is preached, the devil knows. Now, you understand what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of, the devil don't care that people go to church. Go ahead, fill all the churches in Corcoran, but don't fill that church. Right there on Hale Avenue, on Patterson. Because this is the church where we preach the word of God. It's not man's, again, it's not man's, what man thinks. Well, I think it's this way. Well, I'm not going to teach that because people might not come here. No, we preach the word of God. So the devil don't care that churches are filled every day. He doesn't care. What he does care about is don't go to that church where truth is. Where you'll hear what will really set you free. So it's going to be a fight. You invite people to come. You invite young people to come. It's going to be a fight. The devil's going to fight them. Oh, you don't want to go there. This will come up. That will happen. Anything will happen. It's a fight. And you've got to start praying against those things. God, tear down those walls. Lord, take away those hindrances. Whatever it is that's keeping them. You've got to get specific with God and start praying for those things. Amen. Amen. And we've got to get desperate. You know what happens? If there is a harvest that is out there, understand what I'm saying, but there is a time, there is a season. We talked about this a while back, but you got to strike while the iron is hot. There is a time. God begins to prepare people, and they go through certain things and certain situations. God's getting them ready. Their heart is ready. They're in a place where they are ready. It's like that harvest. You have some fruit. You've done all the work, right? You've watered, you planted it, you've watered it, it's grown. Now it's ready. It's ready. You've got to go out there and get it while it's ready. Because it can get to a place where it's not ready no more. And it gets rotten. Yuck. You can't eat it no more. It's no good. And it's dead. It dies. Can we look at that in the spiritual now? It's harvest time. But if we, the laborers, are not ready, and we're not sensitive, and we're not in tune, that soul that is ready, ripe, now, and we miss it. Could it be that they missed their chance because the laborers were not ready? We were too tired. We've been praying for this soul. And all of a sudden, at 2 o'clock in the morning, God wakes you up. And they are so heavy on your mind, but you're too tired. And you roll over. And you don't realize that at 2 o'clock in the morning, they were contemplating suicide. I know that's a lot of ifs, whens, whys, and buts. But it can happen. And it happens. The harvest is truly ready, but where are the laborers? I'll say this, but I know we understand. I believe we truly understand this, but for the sake of it, I'll say it. Do we realize that we are racing, fighting against eternity? Now, when I say that, we're fighting against eternity. Do you know what I'm referencing? We're fighting for souls, for eternity, where they're going to spend eternity. Now, I know a lot of us, we're saying yes. We understand that. Now, again, think about your harvest field. Who's your harvest field? Who do you want to see God save? Who do you want to see God bring in? Now, your harvest, those souls for eternity, where are they going to spend eternity? Are we really fighting for their soul? Are we really fighting for their soul? Eternity is forever. Forever. And you're going to spend it, they're going to spend it, one of two places. Heaven or hell. Forever. I want to go to heaven. I want my family to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want to be lost. I don't want my family to be lost. To be in eternity in hell, where there's no hope, no relief. It's everlasting fire, everlasting torment, suffering. I don't think nobody wants that. Nobody in their right mind would want that. And in today's world, so many minds are so dulled when you talk about hell. And I know we've talked about this before, but what Hollywood and all these, what they see, all the evil that they see, how bad really is hell going to be? You talk about hell, it don't bring fear like it used to. Back in the day, the preacher would get up and preach about hell. He wouldn't even finish, and people would flood the altars. Today, you preach about hell, you have people yawning. You have people falling asleep. Hell. It's not the same. But it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's still real. It's still real. We may not get the response today that we used to back then, but that don't change the fact that it's still real. And you could end up there. You could spend eternity there. Your family could spend eternity there. In a place of fire, smoke, darkness, evil. I know I mentioned this story sometime. It happened about 2 years ago. And I'm closing. I was down in my living room. My wife was in the kitchen, and my oldest daughter, Natalia, she was sitting on the counter. She had a big little fluffy dress, you know, those like princess type dress. I don't know, it was that material. It was like lace type, I don't know. But she had jumped up on the countertop, and she was watching my wife cook. And she turned to do something just for a few seconds. And in those few seconds, Natalia had turned to do something. And when she turned this way, her dress went this way into the fire, right on the countertop. And that quick, her dress was on fire. Her dress was on fire. And she's crying right now because she remembers. And I could cry because that's my daughter. When that happened, it happened so fast. Again, I was down in the living room. She turned to do something. Her dress is on fire. She jumps down off of the countertop. And in fear, she don't even know what to do. She's running. She runs from the kitchen. She's starting to run to the dining room. All of a sudden, from down in the living room, I hear all these people screaming. All these people, I mean, my Victoria, Natalia, and my wife. They're all screaming. And you, if you have kids, you understand there's screams. They play. They mess around. But the screams that I was hearing down in the living room, it wasn't the screams of fun, of a good time. It was screams of fear, screams of panic. So instantly, I jump up and I run as fast as I can. Not very far, but I run right up there. And I get up there. And, I mean, it's how fast. Ah! I'm running. It's like that fast. She's running. I'm running. And I see she's running at me, and she's on fire. And I'm, right? And my wife is running, like, after her, too. And so we grab her. I grab her, and I run her towards the sink. I grab the nozzle. Well, my wife grabs the nozzle. I pick Natalia up, and I put her up on the sink. My wife, so you got to picture it. Here's the sink. I'm holding Natalia here. She's on fire on this side. My wife is on this side with the nozzle, you know, the extensions. She has it, and she's trying to reach around trying to spray her. Isn't working, right? Because she's reaching around trying to get the fire. It's on the wrong side. I reach and I'm like, you're not even getting it. So I reach and I grab it and I'm starting to do it. And I grab at the fire. In a parent's eyes, minds, when your little kid, loved one, is in danger, you don't care about putting yourself in danger. You're going to do whatever it has to do to save your family, whoever it is. So there she is on fire, and I grab it, and we're trying to put it out. I'm hitting at the fire, trying to put it out. Her hair was down. Her hair was down. It's a good thing her hair didn't catch on fire. The dress was on fire. To this day, I wish we would have kept that dress. It's a miracle that she didn't get burned. The point of that story is seeing my little daughter on fire. Seeing her burning. That has been ingrained, etched in my mind. I'll never unsee that. Again, for those that have been here for a while, you've probably heard this story, but there was a man in Riverdale. They were at family members' houses. They were in two different cars. The wife, and I forget how many kids, it was five, six kids, several kids. I might be mistaken, but it was several kids, quite a bit. They got into their SUV, bigger car. They got in, they loaded up, they left. Then the husband got in his car and was going to follow and meet them where they were going. I forget the streets now. It was like on 22nd. I believe the street was. She went to cross. Got hit. The husband, just right behind, following, comes up as fast as he can. The vehicle, that fast, catches on fire. The whole vehicle was engulfed in flames. The man could do nothing. He stood there and watched his whole family burn. I think about these stories. These ain't stories, but these really happened. Watching my daughter on fire. Then this tragic accident that happened several years ago with this man standing there watching his family perish with nothing he could do. That's going to be eternity. How many will stand and be lost knowing that they're lost and there's nothing, there's no hope? How many parents will be in hell knowing that their family's there, their kids are there? Now, I understand in heaven there's going to be no tears, no sorrow, no pain. We won't have a memory. of those that aren't there. Because if you really knew that a son, a daughter, a mom, or a dad wasn't in heaven and they were in hell, do you think you would be having a good time? Do you think you'd be able to rejoice and have a good time knowing that your son was lost? Uh-uh. There's a purpose. You have a burden for your harvest field. It's your harvest field. It's your field. But you're racing against time. You're racing against eternity. You don't know that loved one that you're praying for. They could get in a car tomorrow, cross 43, and never come home. Hey, they could go to sleep and never wake up in the morning. Young or old, it doesn't matter. Death is no respecter of person. When it's your time to go, when it's their time to go, it's their time. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after, it's judgment. It's the judgment. Church, do we have a burden for the lost? Do we have a burden for our loved ones? I'm reminded of Brother Creel's dream about the coffins that filled the church. And I understand his dream. But when I look at it, we can't wait until there's a coffin at the front of a church then to cry tears. But it's now. We've got to be able to get into the Spirit and intercede and travail. They've got to hear the message now while they're alive. They've got to come to that place of repentance now. Before it's too late, before they cross into eternity, and there's no more hope. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, because tomorrow may not be promised. Today is the day. God is drawing hearts. God is calling hearts. And church, we are the ones that can make the difference, but we've got to have a burden. You've got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You've got to intercede. You've got to travail. You've got to get to that place where you can weep and cry. God, save their soul. God, whatever it takes, I pray that you'll reach to them. God, do whatever it takes to draw them in. God, restore a burden today like never before. God, change my heart. God, change me, Lord. Up your mind. I want this. I need this.